This is Peter Hammond in the studio for From the Frontline tonight, discerning the will of God in a world of deception. There are many warnings in Scripture against deception. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We cannot trust our emotions. We must never confuse voices in our head with the voice of God. God guides us primarily through the principles and commands of Scripture. Our duties and responsibilities in the light of the Great Commission determine His will for us on a daily basis. It is easy to become disorientated and confused. Therefore, we should seek the advice and counsel of dedicated Christians who fear God. And we must learn not to trust our own inclinations. Certainly, we must resist peer pressure. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 7 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil." Now, we need to discern and distinguish between subjective and objective guidance. To use a mountaineering analogy, your compass readings are subjective. It is relative to where you understand your position to be. A map can be objective, as long as you have a correct perspective of where you are on a map. A boundary marker, now that is objective. Now, it is easy to be lost while climbing on the mountains. I've experienced that, particularly in bad weather and with limited visibility and cloud cover. Following your compass reading is similar to following your conscience. This is subjective and cannot be taken as confirmation of anything. Compass readings can be misleading if interfered with, for example, by a magnet. The map is like the Word of God, objective reality. However, we can sometimes be completely lost even while having the perspective that we are making good progress according to our understanding of where we are on a map. You can even be on the right path, but going in the wrong direction. It helps to have a guide who has traveled this way before. Godly counsel from mature and experienced Christians who are dedicated to the Lord, who fear God, who don't fear public opinion, those kind of Christians can be a tremendous help. So too are finding boundary markers. When we come across a cairn, a pile of rocks perhaps cemented in with the name of the location, the ravine, the beacon, and so on, this enables us to orientate ourselves and to recognize where exactly on the map we are. If the boundary marker does not accord with where we perceived ourselves to be, we need to recognize that our perception is what is an error, because perception is subjective. Compass is subjective. Boundary marker, that is objective. And in the same way, if we are confronted by a boundary marker of an authority in our life, such as our parents, pastor, mission leader, employer, who informs us that we are off the path and out of bounds, we need to be humble and teachable and reevaluate our position in the light of God's word. The Scripture encourages us to test all things. We should look for confirmation, and in major matters, we should expect major confirmations. Now, questions asked would include, is it scriptural? It's always right to do what the Scriptures command. You don't need guidance to repent of your sins. It's a command in the Bible. You must repent. God now commands all men everywhere to repent, to do thorough restitution. You don't need guidance for restitution. It's in the Bible. You must do restitution. We are commanded to be thankful. What is the will of God? Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It is God's will for you to be wholehearted in your duties, to seek sanctification and holiness. You do not need guidance to obey clear, general, universal scriptural commands. Next question, does it glorify God? 1 Corinthians 10 verse 33 says, "Therefore, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And thirdly, is it in accordance with the laws of God? "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise is simple." That's Psalm 19, verse 7. And we know that the scripture is the schoolmaster that leads us to Christ, that we should be justified by faith. So the law of God, that is objective reality. That is a boundary marker. Is what I think God guiding me to in accordance with the laws of God? Fourthly, what do the authorities in my life say? Ephesians 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, doing service as unto the Lord and not to men. So, fifth question is, does your spirit within you bear witness by giving you inner peace about your decision? Romans 9 verse 1, Paul writes, I tell the truth in Christ, I'm not lying, my conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Spirit. Colossians 3 verse 15 says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which you were also called in one spirit, and be thankful. How do you know this is the will of God? Whose counsel have you sought? God never guides any people to disobey his word. When man listens, God speaks. In order to understand the will of God, to discern the will of God in a world of deception, it is essential that you can recognize the voice of God. We cannot do God's will if we cannot discern his voice from the clamor of peer pressure and the noise of the world and the cacophony of our emotions. We read in 1 Samuel 3, verse 1 to 11, how the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, the high priest, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he rose and he went to the high priest Eli and said, here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, you should say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both the ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. That's in 1 Samuel 3. Speak, Lord, for your servant listens. One of the most persistent commands in the scripture is for us to listen to God and to hear his word. Deuteronomy 6, verse 3. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you. Proverbs 8, verse 34. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. That's Proverbs 8, 34. Proverbs 15, verse 31 says, the ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide amongst the wise. Are you wise? Do you listen to the rebukes of life? Are you listening to God? Are you watching daily at his gates? Are you waiting at the posts of God's doors? Are you careful to observe the word of God? We read in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near, rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. That's actually quite terrifying to think that there are so many people who do not even know that they're doing evil. They lack discernment. They're not listening to God. They're not reading his word. They're not hearing the word of God proclaimed and taught and expounded. We must be prudent, wise when we go to the house of God. We must draw near to God, not offer the sacrifice of fools, as Ecclesiastes 5 verse 1 says. Ecclesiastes 9, 17 says, words of the wise, spoken quietly, should be heard. Are you listening? Habakkuk 3 verse 5 says, O Lord, I've heard your speech, and I was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. Is that your prayer, that the Lord would revive his work in the midst of the years? Are you listening to God speaking? Luke 8 verse 15, our Lord Jesus described the seed that fell on the good ground as symbolic of those who, having heard the word of God with a noble and a good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Do you receive the word of God with pleasure? Are you producing a harvest of good fruit? James 1 verse 19 says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." Are you quick to hear? Are you quick to listen, to discern the voice of God? Revelation 2 verse 19 says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Do you know what the Lord is saying to the churches at this time? Are you understanding the times? Are you rightly dividing the word of truth? Can you hear what is the word of God to our time? What is the relevant scriptures to apply to our situation? Spiritual deafness is condemned throughout scripture. Jeremiah 6 verse 10 says, "Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They take no delight in God's word." I trust you take delight in God's word. Ezekiel 12 verse 2 says, "Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see, but does not see, and ears to hear, but does not hear, for they are a rebellious house." Do you hear the word of God? Do you see God's work in this world? Zechariah 7 verse 11 says, "But they refused to heed. They shrugged their shoulders and they stopped their ears so that they could not hear." How terrible to think that there are people who shrug their shoulders at the word of God, who refuse to heed the word of God, who stop up the ears so that they will not hear God's word. We read in 2 Timothy 4 verse 4 that they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Now, this is speaking about the last days when there will be a rebellious people who have a form of righteousness but deny the power thereof. They will turn their ears away from the truth. They will be turned aside to fables. Oh, we are living in an age of myths and false narratives and fake news and so much that's false. When last did God speak to you? What did he say? Did you obey? Do not expect God to speak to you again until you have obeyed what he has told you before. There's a purpose to listening to God. Why do we need to hear God? Firstly, to deepen and to develop our relationship with God. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. That's in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9. Now, to learn principles in the ways of God, Luke 24 verse 32 says, "And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" Is our heart responsive to the word of God? Ephesians 3 verse 17 to 19 says that we need to experience and understand more of the character of God, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. And we need to know the will of God. Romans 12 verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we need to hear God to deepen and develop our relationship with God, to learn principles and the ways of God, and to experience and understand more of the character of God, to learn and know the will of God. Well, there are conditions to hearing from God. God requires us to have a clean heart and faith, and to have a relationship with him, and to be in an attitude of worship and reverence, and be applying the Lordship of Christ to all areas of life. We need faith. We need a clean heart. We need a relationship with God. Sin is a barrier to hearing God. Isaiah 59 verse 1 to 2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." It's not that God cannot hear. It's not that God cannot reach and help. No, he is all-knowing, he is everywhere present, he is all-powerful, but he chooses not to, he refuses to hear when our iniquities have separated us from God. Unconfessed sin, unrepented of sin, can be a barrier between us and God. 1 John 1 verse 5 to 9 says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need a clean heart if we expect to hear from God. And we need faith. We read in Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith we understand, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is the reward of those who diligently seek him. That's in Hebrews 11. We need a clean heart, we need faith, and we need a relationship. The more we hear God speak, the better we'll be able to recognize his voice. In John 10, we read that the sheep hear his voice, and the shepherd calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out, and the sheep follow the shepherd, for they know his voice. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said. I know them, and they follow me. Do you recognize your Savior's voice? Do you follow him? And we need an attitude of worship and reverence. When God has your attention in worship, you can discern his voice. In Matthew 17, verse 5, we read, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. We need a clean heart. We need faith, we need a relationship with God, we need an attitude of worship and reverence, and we need to apply the Lordship of Christ to all areas of life. Jesus is Lord. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. We're commanded to make disciples and to teach obedience to all things that he has commanded. Our attitude needs to be, I will go wherever you send me, I will do whatever you tell me. When we're receptive and responsive to the word of God, we can expect to hear from God. Now, historically, God has spoken in many different ways. Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. If a person asks you for God's telephone number, here it is, Jeremiah 33:3. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. There have been ways in which God has spoken audibly, such as to Moses through the burning bush, or to Samuel, or to Paul on the road to Damascus. And so God has spoken audibly. And there have been occasions when God has communicated through visions, such as visions to Ezekiel, we read in Ezekiel 1, or to Daniel, read in Daniel 7, or to John, the book of Revelation is visions that God gave to John. So God speaks audibly. God can speak through visions. And there have been occasions when God has communicated to his people through dreams, such as to Jacob in Genesis 28, and to Joseph in Genesis 37, to Joseph also, the husband of Mary in Matthew 1, and to Paul in Acts 23, verse 11. So God has spoken audibly, spoken through visions and dreams, and through angels. There have been occasions when God has communicated as well through angels, such as to Gideon, Judges 6, and to Abraham in Genesis 18, to Lot in Genesis 19, to Daniel, we read in Daniel 10, to Mary, the mother of Jesus, in Luke 1, and to Peter, Acts 12. So God has spoken through angels and audibly and through visions and dreams, and God continues to speak through the circumstances of his design. Proverbs 16, verse 3 says, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. In Proverbs 16:9, we read, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord can direct his steps. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good, for those who love God and those who are the called according to his purpose. And so we're not saying that everything that happens in our life will be pleasant, but God can work all things together for good, even the unpleasant and terrible things, even evil things done towards us, because God can work all things together for good for those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. God speaks through the circumstances of his design. He also speaks through the conviction of our conscience. Paul wrote in Romans 9 verse 1, "My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit." Have you experienced that, where your conscience has borne witness in the Holy Spirit? Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful." In 1 Timothy 1 verse 19, we are warned that we need to have faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concern the faith, have suffered shipwreck. Oh, people have often ruined their lives by ignoring their conscience, ignoring the word of God, ignoring the counsel of godly people, ignoring the commands of scripture, and their life is like a train wreck or a shipwreck. And the scripture says that a man's own choices ruin his life, and yet his heart rages against the Lord. Well, God speaks through circumstances. He speaks through conviction of our conscience. He has also spoken often through the advice and counsel of dedicated and mature Christians. Proverbs 1, verse 5 to 9 says, "A wise man will hear and increase his learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother." And so it is wise to seek advice from people older and more experienced than ourselves, especially if we can see track record and faithfulness in the lives of people who have known what it is to sacrifice for the greater good and for God's will, and people who are willing to be taking risks for God, and who are willing to be unpopular with the world by taking a principled stand. So there is a place for advice and counsel of dedicated and mature Christians. But remember, God can also guide you in a way that others will not understand. And sometimes good people have had to go against the advice of people who are afraid of the consequences of the world. Professor Martin Luther could say, "My conscience has kept the word of God." He was going against the counsel and advice of everyone because he was so convinced in the word of God that he needed to make the stand. And the Protestant Reformation was born out of that, 18th of April, 1521, something we celebrate in this year. So we need to follow advice and counsel, but always as guided by scripture first and foremost. God speaks through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We read in Ephesians 5 verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." That's in Ephesians 5, 15 to 21. We're told in Colossians 3, verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts of the Lord." And so God speaks through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And God speaks through the gifts of the Spirit. The voice of the Lord can be discerned through the gifts that he has given to church, through those with a word of wisdom or word of knowledge or prophecy or discernment, languages, interpretation. And so in 1 Corinthians 12, we see how God has chosen to speak to us through the ministry of the church, through the means of grace. Romans 12 verse 5 to 8 says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. Let us then use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in a proportion to faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering, or he who teaches in teaching, and he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality or generosity. He who teaches and leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And so this reminds us of the importance of the local church. And it has been tragic that in the last year we have had, in the name of fighting a virus, government regulations that breach the Bills of Rights, really breach the basic principles of freedom of conscience and freedom of religion, freedom of worship, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of movement, freedom of association. All these basic freedoms, which are the foundations of free societies, have been violated and trampled upon and sidelined and suspended in the last year. And many churches have not been functioning normally, and some churches have yet to reopen properly. And that is terrible and tragic. And if big churches are forced to be closed, then house churches must take their place. But the thing is, we must not stop gathering together. We must not forsake the assembling together of one another with other believers and be open to and responsive to regular teaching and preaching from the Word of God and exhortations and exposition of Scripture and in relationships of commitment and accountability, which only a local church can give. And if the standard churches are not doing their job, then the house churches, the cell groups, the Bible study and prayer groups, the home fellowships must try and fill the gap as much as possible. But Ephesians 4 verse 11 to 15 says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure, to the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, of the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head." That's in Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 15. So, to summarize, God speaks through his word, the Bible, in our daily quiet time, as we study. God speaks through his word. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper." God speaks through memorized scripture. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another." God speaks through the reading of scripture. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." God speaks through the preaching and teaching of God's word. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God," Romans 10, 17. "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. And it is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart," Hebrews 4, verse 12. "So God has spoken audibly and through visions and dreams and through angels, and all of these have been recorded for us to study in the scripture. But generally, we are guided in our daily lives by daily study of the scriptures, through memorized scripture, through careful attention to the reading of God's word, through listening attentively to the preaching and teaching of the word of God. We can further see God's hand in the circumstances wherein God works all things together for good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. The conviction of a conscience and the advice and counsel of dedicated and mature Christians can be used of the Lord to guide us in his will. God has given prophets, teachers, apostles, church planters, evangelists, and pastors to the church, and through their collective wisdom and knowledge, we can learn much of the word of God. We can learn much of the ways of God. We can learn much of the will of God. Through psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs, and when we attend to worship, we can discern the voice of God. And so, when we are faced with decisions, and in major decisions seek major confirmation, is it scriptural? Does it glorify God? Is it in accordance with the laws of God? What do the authorities in my life say? What godly counsel have I sought from people who fear God and are willing to go against peer pressure for the principles of God's word? Does your spirit within you bear witness by giving it inner peace about the decision? How do you know this is the will of God? Whose counsel have you sought? God never guides people to disobey his word. When man listens, God speaks. James 1 verse 21 to 25 says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, then he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. That's all from James 1, 21 to 25. And so it's so important that we recognize God's voice, that we discern the will of God in a world of deception. I'd encourage you to go onto the www.frontlinemissionsa.org website. frontlinemissionsa.org website, you'll find a treasure trove of audio, video, PowerPoint links, articles, free PDF books, all kinds of great resources to enable you to make Christ's last command your first concern, to make Christ's great commission your supreme ambition, to enable you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so that all these things may be added unto you. Now, we have had just recently the Reformation 500 conference, and you will find the audios of the lectures. We had 11 different presenters from around the world, so there's 11 different audio presentations that you can listen to on SoundCloud and on our sermon audio page. And also you can view some of the PowerPoints of presentations that I gave, for example, on the inerrancy of Scripture and the civilization crisis, identifying the threats that confront us, and the Here I Stand message from Reformation 500 Sunday, especially on the significance and impact and importance of Martin Luther's stand. So you can view the videos, listen to the audios, view the PowerPoints, or read the articles. And the Cape Town Declaration, Here We Stand, and on the Authority of Scripture, and the Chicago Declaration on Inerrancy of Scripture, all these are available on our Reform500.org website. That's www.reform500.org. And you'll find many of the audio, video, and PowerPoint links on the frontlinemissionsa.org website. We have other events upcoming. On Ascension Day, the 13th of May, there will be a Faith, Family, and the Future conference celebrating 30 years of Africa Christian Action. And so this conference will be all day on Ascension Day, the 13th of May, which is a Thursday. And you'll be able to also join the live stream if you're in Cape Town. You're welcome to come and join us if you can. But this is an important event for all those who are part of the campaign to be salt and light in the community, to be watchmen on the walls, standing for the right to life of preborn babies, for family values, for biblical marriage, for Bible-based education controlled by parents, aided by the church, but independent of the state. We pray that there'll be many who will stand in the gap, just as Ezekiel 22 verse 30 says, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land so that I should not have to destroy it. And we, every Thursday, have a Reformation Society meeting here in Cape Town, and the next week we put out Reformation Society emails, which will give links to the audios, videos, and PowerPoints of the presentation of the week before. But those who are in Cape Town are, of course, welcome to join us on Thursday nights at the mission in the newly established upper room. And so you will find previous broadcasts of From the Frontline on our www.frontlinemissionsa.org website. You'll find links to the recent conferences and other Reformation presentations, such as Giving It Back to the Bible Mission. These are being uploaded regularly on the frontlinemissionsa.org website, on our SlideShare page, on our Vimeo page, videos, and on the sermon audio pages in particular. You'll see the links all on frontlinemissionsa.org. Let us be able to discern what is the will of God, what is the voice of God in an age of deception, in a world gone mad, a world which is turning its back on God and shaking its fist of rebellion in the face of God. Let us be willing to be like those steel-headed trout who swim upstream against the flow. Even a dead fish can float downstream. It takes courage and strength and perseverance and backbone to swim upstream, to go against the flow. Let us recognize God's voice. Let us fear God and fear God alone. Let us take up a cross. Let us follow Christ. Because what is so important at every point is for us to ask not what is popular, but what is principled, not what is public opinion, but what does the word of God say? God never guides anyone to disobey his word. When man listens, God speaks. May God bless each one of you. Till next week, God bless and good night.